Chapter 16. Aspen. Manuela had just finished tracking down and checking over the last squirming, half-feral imp infesting Aspen's house when the farmer managed to track her down. Releasing the brat into the wild again, his old friend looked up, her expression happier and more relaxed than he could remember ever seeing it. When she took in his grim countenance, however, her own tightened and grew guarded. "What is it?" she asked, coming to her feet from the crouch she'd assumed so she could look into her patient's eyes and ears. She brushed herself down, wincing slightly when her fingers crossed a livid bite mark on her arm. Aspen stepped forward, reaching slowly to touch the wound, remembering that Manuela wasn't one for physical contact outside of medical procedures. She stiffened, but held still when she saw his hand begin to glow softly. He whispered a prayer, and the injury vanished, along with some other scrapes and bruises his life sense told him lay where he couldn't see them with his eyes. Her small subjects had not been gentle in their efforts to escape her ministrations. The woman relaxed a bit, the deep creases around her mouth softening so she looked no more than her 50 or so years. Chuckling quietly, she said, "It's strange to see you as a fellow healer instead of," she paused, visibly choosing and discarding several descriptions for his former occupation, "what you were." She finished simply. He sighed, dropping his hand and stepping back. "I, for one, am glad to see you finally able to use your gifts to heal, rather than forced to do harm." He shook his head. "I haven't asked before, but if you can tell me?" Manuela sighed, casting her eyes down. "You didn't have to ask. I told you when we escaped Akuji's lair. I knew the risks of helping Birdie before we snuck outside the city. She would have gone alone if I hadn't helped, and seeing you here before me, I would do it again." She looked up, dark eyes bright. "We were all going to die on the morrow, Yorgas. 2 days at the outside. If things hadn't happened the way they did, the human race would have been all but destroyed the next time Akuji broke the thin defense provided by the Bluestones. I know you regret it, and I wish Lark hadn't been the sacrifice required by the gods to enable you to kill that bastard, but she would have died anyway, along with everyone else." She held out her hand, looking at the network of faint scars radiating from her fingertips halfway up her arm. "I wish I hadn't lost to that damned ghoul too, but at least losing half my levels convinced the king and Duke Gerald I was a broken tool they could safely discard. The price for my freedom was high, but not one I regret paying." Flashing a smile, she said, "Plus, I was able to use my gifts differently this time, since I wasn't, invited into the military. My new skills are far more focused on aiding people in growth and recovery than the old. I was even able to find a physician who appreciated the, tranquility of having an aged apprentice, and I picked up some less esoteric skills." Aspen smiled a bit at this last. "That must be a story in itself, my friend. Unfortunately, today I must ask if you still retain one of your old abilities." He held up the cloth containing the bits of Leonard that remained. Since they were in his possession, they now counted as loot instead of part of the corpse, but they would still begin to break down within a day. Soul tracking. Manuela took the handkerchief and looked within, eyeing the contents with clinical detachment. "I take it you've had an interesting day?" she asked wryly. He tugged at his hat. "Yes, you could say that. I'm assisting Vaughn with a problem, and seem to have stumbled over something Gina is also interested in." Her capable fingers jerked, nearly dropping the makeshift bag. "The gods? Yorgas, you know I don't." Aspen gently took his prize back. "Call me Aspen, please. And I certainly know how you feel about anything that involves the gods, but—" he gestured to himself with the hand-holding stick, which was in its favorite form, and the staff chimed cheerfully at being included. "I haven't much choice, and I need your help. Please, old friend." The woman sighed deeply and held out her hand. "Fine then, but no more than this. Soul tracking has come in handy more than once in preventing the spread of disease, so it has re-leveled several times. I can only look back a little over a day, though. Nothing like what I once could do." Her fingers curled as he carefully handed back the Leonard bits. "To the map?" He nodded. Manuela was one of the very few people who had once been entrusted with tokens to allow them safe entry to Aspen's private sanctum. As his closest friend, he had even asked her to look after Birdie for him, if anything had happened to him, but left Manuela and his daughter alive. Thus, Manuela knew all about Aspen's magically updating map table. They stood across from each other now, staring down at the detailed depiction of the city in which they had once lived. Even as they watched, tiny walls rose in the better parts of the city, and crumbling buildings became more derelict in the poorer areas. Manuela hefted the now exposed gobbets of goo resting in her palm, eyeing them critically. "This is only enough for one attempt, so watch carefully. Hopefully what your former acquaintance here did on his last day will help you with whatever you need to do." Aspen puffed a breath. "I hope so as well. He had an encounter with Vaughn earlier today. I'm hoping that what he did after that will tell us something useful." His eyes searched the city, then fell on a small ramshackle building. He pointed, noting as he did that the building seemed to have suffered a recent fire, judging by its crumbled and blackened frame. "He'll start here."
"He'll end there, you mean?"
Manuela chuckled darkly, her husky voice making the sound faintly menacing. "Watch then." She held out her hand and closed her eyes, muttering incomprehensibly beneath her breath. Her eyes flashed open, pupils suddenly so huge that only the faintest rim of color could be seen around the blackness. Tendrils of hair that had escaped her black and silver braid began to flutter in an unfelt breeze. To his amazement, Aspen could actually sense the ghostly wind that disturbed the life force around her, though it was glaring more for its not-there-ness more than its existence. In his surprise, he nearly missed the faint speck of light that had appeared on the map inside the shell of the old building. Fortunately, he brought himself back to the moment in time to watch as it flowed backwards along their path, far more quickly than when they had actually walked it. Soon it was back in Leonard and George's house, where it remained for several seconds. Backwards then down the street to a pub, showing that the early bout of drunkenness he and his companions had acted out likely wasn't unrealistic. From there, Leonard's sole trace was tracked to the tannery itself, where it seemed the man had worked, given the long minute it remained. Aspen focused closely on the next part, because very little time remained when the now dead man could have interacted with Vaughn after the young elf left that morning. From the tannery, the light flickered to a building nearby, and then back to the tannery it went. The time elapsed was so brief that if Aspen hadn't been looking so closely, he would undoubtedly have missed it. After that, everything was fairly predictable. Back home, where Vaughn must have caught the two men just before their shift. Leonard's sole memory showed that he'd spent the night at home, and spent the evening before in the same pub he'd visited after work today. Aspen sighed, straightening, as the light faded and the flesh in Manuela's palm crumbled to dust. Manuela, eyes still slightly unfocused, looking more than a little pale beneath her brown tan, leaned heavily on the table. Her fingers passed harmlessly through the magical image, and the tops of tiny houses showed over her knuckles. "Did that help?" Her voice was raspy, as though her throat was raw or dry, and Aspen handed her the mug of honeyed water he'd brought from the kitchen for just this purpose. Aspen reached out, finger hovering over the building Leonard's light had so briefly entered. His voice was grim. "I think so. The man I met had no business waltzing in and out of a guard station so easily. He had some errand there, and I fear I know what it was." Shaking her head, Manuela stood a little straighter. Downing the mug of water in one long draw, she set it down and sighed deeply, expression apologetic. "This is all I can do for you then, Aspen. The god's business is none of mine, though you may come to me if you're injured." She grimaced. "Though I suppose that any injury you can't repair yourself would be beyond my abilities as well." He smiled at his old friend, who had been caught up in the games of the gods when she was young. Though she had come out stronger and wiser, it was an experience she only spoke of late at night or when deep in her cups. Since then she had forsworn any involvement with deities and had taken rather a long time to trust Aspen, who was once the left hand of Atai. At that moment there came a sharp rapping at the stairwell door, and both of them whipped around, hands instinctively reaching for weapons. Manuela touched the hilt of a small knife sheathed at her waist, and Aspen grasped stick, retrieving it from its resting place against the wall nearby. Aspen reached out with his life sense and relaxed a moment later. "It's Rouge," he told the tense woman across from him. "I'll let her in." He strode down the hall, reaching the door just as another series of enthusiastic bangs resounded through the entry chamber. When he opened the door, Rouge bounded in, barely glancing around before words started tumbling from her mouth. "You are never going to guess who I saw when I was on my way to get Wally." Excitement brightened her pretty hazel eyes, and she nearly danced in place as she forced herself to pause for a half breath. Then she rolled her eyes and went on. "No, I guess you really wouldn't since you don't know her, but I saw Myrna. I mean, she goes by 3D Kitten now, which is just lame, but whatever." She was here with her two besties, and they were just chatting in the clear so I could hear them, and they were talking about Chris, you know that Chris, and said they were in some kind of cult. Aspen's attention was suddenly focused on his young friend, momentarily dismissing thoughts of what Leonard's little side trip might mean. Bruges was already going on. Apparently there's some big event tonight that they called an induction that they were all three supposed to go to, even though Myrna said she wouldn't because it was creepy. I mean, she said it was because she was going out to dinner, but she totally chickened out. Anyway, I bet Lenny was into all this stuff, and the cult is the maskers, or the maskers are part of the cult, or something. What do you think? She finally stopped, eyes huge in her triangular face as she waited for his response. Aspen nodded. I agree. Leonard had definitely gotten into something much larger than he had any business dealing with. He rubbed his jaw. If something big is happening tonight, I think I know where to go to start gathering information. Though, he eyed her consideringly, do you have any idea where your three friends might be now? Rouge made a face. You. No friends of mine. Boot, she lingered on the word, savoring it. Since I had to pick up Wally at the dead tent anyway, I popped out into my study room. She waved a hand as he opened his mouth to question her. Explain later. Anyway, 4D Kitten, which is totally derivative, is a streamer. She has like 12 subscribers, but whatever. Basically, that means she uses magic to, show what she's doing to any random person with too much time on their hands. So I pulled up the stream and watched a bit. You can't stream some quests that are involved in an active storyline, and apparently this cult thing counts, but I could see where she and Myrna and Pentakitten, which is only slightly better than 4D, are. They spent the morning doing some seriously boring item shopping, and now they're eating at some super fancy restaurant called La Danse Macabre, which is apparently the place to be seen right now. So here's the deal. Holding up one slim brown finger to stop the flow of questions he had regarding the semi-gibberish she was spouting, the little elf girl grinned, white teeth flashing brilliantly. I seriously have to go, even though poor Wally is pouting because I brought him here and then told him I couldn't stay. He's in the garden, by the way, so there probably won't be a lot of veggies left. Sorry, not sorry, since I know you can grow them back. Anyway, Lyric and I are going to watch her stream and see where she goes. I'll be back as soon as I can, or when she has to stop streaming, and then we'll go wherever we last saw her. Sound good? Aspen barely had time for another bemused nod before she was popping up her thumb, and then her eyes went blank and staring. Manuela, who had come in at some point during the rapid-fire monologue, snorted. I've seen them all do that now, but it still looks like one of your meat puppets after I pulled its soul. I think it actually makes it worse that I know they'll be back. It goes against everything I've ever known. He sighed, taking off his hat, slapping it against his leg a few times, and then settling it back on his head, mind racing all the while. I know. I put something over their heads when they do this. A few moments later, a small throw blanket was over Rouge's head, and both adults felt simultaneously mildly relieved and embarrassed by their relief. Now what? Manuela asked. Aspen shrugged. I guess I wait.